So with that, I'd like to turn it to our next two panelists who will give you a little bit more. And Jess, or who's going? This is you. No, I said burning, sorry. Where is it? I'll let you do it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. The way we split this up is I'm going to talk to you about the underwriting cycle, and of course that very central to what we develop in terms of reserves and reserve cycles. So this is kind of background, if you will, for what we're going to be talking about as the session goes on. So I want to first start with the question of seemingly basic, do underwriting results actually go in cycles? And I thought I'd tackle them one line at a time. On the personal line side, this is the loss and loss adjustment ratio for homeowners insurance. I think I see some peaks and some valleys there, but perhaps that's just very subjective. This is auto, private passenger auto, the red line. There are highs and lows, but obviously they are very different in terms of the amplitude and to some degree the timing, not quite, but to some degree the timing of the homeowners. So when we talk about cycles, I think the first point to recognize is that if you talk about the industry overall, all lines together, you're blurring slightly different experiences. On the commercial line side, I was hoping I would put all these up one at a time, but the green line that is most cyclical, if you will, is loss and loss adjustment for Med-Mal. The orange line, commercial multiple peril, and the red line, workers' comp. Actually, I would have expected the workers' comp to be a little more cyclical looking than it is, but these are this is the history, so to some degree. And again, if you put all these together as an all lines demonstration, I think you lose some of the distinctive characteristics of the various lines. Obviously, I didn't select all three. I didn't select every line that the industry writes, but because these are the most common, and also Med-Mal, I think, is somewhat of an extreme case worth picking on just to get a flavor for what the extremes are. Ed mentioned in his introduction that this is a global issue. It certainly is. This chart comes from two different journal articles that looked at the question of underwriting cycles in other countries and is a very brief and perhaps not so helpful summary of estimated cycle length in various countries around the world. In particular, you might note that we have variation from something like every 12 years down to every 4 years, four or five in Italy, and then four countries where there was no discovery of any cycle of activity at all, some in Europe, some in Asia, obviously. The U.S. in the middle there at 7.4. That is obviously an all-lines number and is the result of a regression analysis, so that was why it's 7.4. But does, in fact, I think, essentially match some of the pictures that I just showed you for individual lines in the U.S. Okay, so let's turn from, I guess there are cycles in underwriting, to what elements of insurance activity perhaps give rise to it. This is net written premiums, year over year percentage change. I've highlighted the three, what we love to call hard markets, in which the percentage change reached double digit levels year over year. But there are also, as you can see, some very steep valleys in this chart, down at or below 5% year over year, including a recent three-year period in which the year-over-year changes were actually negative. We've left that now somewhat behind. We're back into a 4% or so growth, we think, this year and roughly last year, but that's comparable to the value part. So perhaps somewhere in our future there will be another double-digit percentage increase in net written premiums. In terms of reserve development over the industry, all lines together, again, you see some cyclical elements here. The blue lines are the prior year reserve development in billions of dollars, and lately we've been taking money out of reserves for reasons that we felt they were obviously, the lovely term that we use is redundant. We didn't need that money for ultimate claims payments, but that is the trend there seems to be getting lower and lower, and we expect to see some reserve buildup again as that cycle changes. In terms of profitability, this is a chart showing return on equity for the industry, and this is about as cyclical, I suppose, as it gets. With some regularity, virtually every 10 years or so, the industry, again, all lines together now, so that perhaps obscures some individual underlying changes going on among the different lines, but roughly every 10 years, we hit a profitability peak as an industry. The last one, 2006 or so, suggesting that the next one will be 2016, maybe. If history holds, in the meantime, we're down again in the relatively low single digits. We have a almost 10% number for the first quarter of 2013, but we know how, given hurricane season, which we have effectively just started, the likelihood, and the second quarter data really not even in yet, although that was a pretty good quarter, relatively speaking. No guarantee that this profit number will stay in the high single digits or not move into negative territory. So to pick up on what Michael was saying, the question of what drives these cycles is worth looking at. This is just research from the Insurance Research Council. Homeowners claim frequency, they separated out catastrophe claim frequency from non-cat claims. The non-cat claims are the blue line on top. That's settled down and become fairly non-cyclical in the last half dozen years or so. But cat claims, not only variable, as you can see bouncing around there, but having wound up somewhat in comparison with where they were in terms of frequency back in 1997, at double the frequency of 1997. So the existence of catastrophes, which Michael mentioned in his comments, does play a part in affecting the sequence of losses and ultimately reserves. Here's severity for the same research from IRC. The cat severity is also the orange line bouncing around a little bit, but basically trending up. Obviously, inflation plays a part in that, but other factors as well. On the liability side, this is EEOC workplace complaints. This is not cyclical as it is going back to 1997, but it does show, Mike talked about shocks to the system. Clearly, we have a major shift in fiscal year 2008 in terms of workplace discrimination complaints that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission received, perhaps triggered by the recession and the financial crisis that occurred in that year and in subsequent years. But the point being that if you were making reserve judgments based on what had happened from 1997 through 2007, you would have been way off in recent years in terms of what actually developed. Another change, a driver, if you will, of reserves and losses is the industry's surplus. It generally has been trending up, as you can see in this graph, but there are obvious times and places when things turned around. The two recessions, most recent recessions, which were accompanied by major capital market meltdowns in the year 2000 and in the year 2008, were associated with drops in industry surplus, but it's now returned to a much higher plane than it ever had been before. And that also shows up in capital available to the reinsurance industry. Double-digit gains in most recent years following a major fall-off in 2008, a 17% decline, obviously a function also of the meltdown in the capital markets. But most recently 11% rise in capacity there from improved capital in the position. So what else is there left that drives these underwriting cycles? Sudden changes in the marketplace, things like mergers, major new entrants, and so forth. Not to put too much pressure on the regulatory apparatus, but to suggest that the longer it takes to get things through, the more underlying conditions change while we are waiting for approval, and so the less it happens then that what we had planned to do matches what's actually going on in the industry. Tort system shocks, Mike again mentioned the surprises associated with asbestos litigation. There are many others that have come along of that type and could come along, obviously, in the future. We can't easily, I think, or well quantify, but it's easy enough, given the asbestos experience, to understand that what the nature, how these things could affect the underwriting cycle and ultimately reserving. Investment shocks, again, we've had too much experience with that sort of change and its impact on underwriting cycles and reserving. So that's what I had put together for you now, and we'll let you go on and see the rest of these presentations, then we can have a good discussion.